Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast, the 'Cause You Had a Bad Day edition, as we take an in-depth look back at the Bengals' ugly home opener, a 41-17 loss to the 49ers, dropping the Bengals to 0-2 this season. Coming up, you'll hear radio replays, locker room comments from players and coaches, and Dave Lapham will join me for post-game analysis. Plus, in this week's Fun Facts conversation, we'll meet the person under the pads, as I'll talk to one of the Bengals' newcomers this year, offensive lineman John Miller. All of that is straight ahead, but first, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest invention since the Zwilling nonstick frying pan. I like scrambled eggs. My kid likes scrambled eggs. What I don't like is the amount of time I've spent scraping nasty scrambled egg residue off of frying pans. But those days are over, now that my wife Peg purchased a Zwilling non-stick frying pan. I cooked scrambled eggs on that bad boy this week, and I am telling you, it was like it had never been touched by an egg when I was finished. I might eat nothing but scrambled eggs for the rest of my life, thanks to the Zwilling non-stick frying pan. Now let's get to football. Last week, the Bengals played well, but lost, outgaining Seattle by nearly 200 yards in a one-point defeat. This week, the Bengals struggled from Oh Say Can You See. On the opening kickoff, the Bengals committed a 10-yard holding penalty. On their first play from scrimmage, Andy Dalton was sacked for an 8-yard loss. On their second play, Joe Mixon fumbled a handoff before falling on the ball for a 1-yard loss. Three plays, three egregious mistakes. Here are Mixon and Trey Hopkins.
We shot ourselves in the foot, man. Penalties, playing behind the sticks, is just unacceptable. We can't do that.
We did everything possible to lose the game. It was more about the things that we did poorly or we did incorrectly that lost us the game than I would say what they did.
That's not giving the 49ers enough credit, especially on offense, where San Francisco made it look ridiculously easy all day, beginning with its first possession.
Garoppolo fakes a handoff, deep drop, flies it down the field to a wide open target. It is caught, and Marquise Goodwin will waltz into the end zone for the easiest touchdown pass Jimmy Garoppolo will throw this year.
They roll Jimmy Garoppolo out to his right. He throws a throwback pass to his left. Goodwin is lost in coverage. Nobody picks up Goodwin.
Last week in Seattle, whenever the Seahawks scored, the Bengals answered with a score of their own, and they did it again after the Niners took a 7-0 lead.
Dalton sends three receivers out to the left, two out to the right. He's back to throw. The protection is good.
Got
him. He fires deep downfield. Caught at the 49ers 40 by Tyler Boyd, and he'll be pulled down by the ankles at the 23-yard line. He was as open as Marquise Goodwin was on the 49ers touchdown.
He sure was. This is what the Bengals showed a little bit offensively in Seattle.
A 47-yard gain to begin the drive, and this is how it ended.
Second and goal inside the one. Dalton fakes to Mixon, throws a short pass. It is caught. Tyler Eifert. Touchdown, Bengals.
Here's Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it wasn't how we wanted to start. We had this plan going in, saying, you know, thinking we were going to start fast, and when we didn't do it on the first drive, you know, that was tough. And then they went down and scored on their first possession. But the good thing from right there is we bounced back and we scored the next time we had the ball. And so we got back on track. We made it, tied the score up, and, I was hoping that we could get going from there, but it never ended up happening.
No, it did not, as the 49ers scored again on their second drive.
7-7 the score, 2:52 left in the first quarter. Second down and four for San Francisco at the Cincinnati 39. Mostert back in at running back. Garoppolo with a straight drop, sets up a screen, throws it to Mostert. Blockers in front, runs to the 30, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown.
Well, they ran the screen right where the Bengals blitzed. The Bengals brought pressure on that side, the left side of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it was Webb that came on the blitz. And then they just dumped it off to the area that he blitzed from. And it's almost like they were listening to the defensive call.
It was that kind of day for 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, who calls his own plays. Whatever he dialed up on Sunday worked. Here's Bengals cornerback Will Jackson.
Well, they came out with a lot of gadget plays. I mean, they hit us with every trick in the book. They pick every play from Madden, you know, the little kids do.
In case you didn't catch that, Will said they picked every play from Madden like little kids do. And I don't think he meant it as an insult. The Bengals defense finally got a stop on the Niners' third drive when Jackson intercepted Garoppolo and ran it back to the San Francisco 26. It was Will's second career INT and his first since that pick six off of Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago. But the Bengals' first play after the pick featured a 10-yard holding penalty, and the drive ended with a missed 52-yard field goal try by Randy Bullock. That was the last time it felt like the Bengals were in the game, as San Francisco answered with another touchdown.
Juszczyk in at fullback. Jeff Wilson is the tailback. First and goal from the two. Garoppolo gives it to Wilson, and he knifes into the end zone for the 49ers' third touchdown of the first half.
By halftime, it was 24-10, and the Bengals had no rushing attack whatsoever. Joe Mixon, who battled back from an ankle injury to play, finished with 17 yards on 11 carries. I talked to him after the game.
You know, it's definitely frustrating, you know, to me. At the end of the day, just got to go home, look myself in the mirror, and just think about what I could do better and what I could control.
It's awfully difficult when you get the ball and 2 yards deep in the backfield, you're encountering the first defensive player for the other team. I mean, how do you avoid that?
At the end of the day, I just got to make sure to stay focused on my reads. And then if something like that happens, just got to make the first man miss and get what I can.
Easier said than done. The Bengals' offensive line simply hasn't been getting a push in the running game. After 2 weeks, Cincinnati is averaging 1.8 yards per carry. And to make matters worse, the Bengals lost the left side of their offensive line on Sunday. Andre Smith left with a groin injury, and Michael Jordan was carted off the field with a knee injury. Another touchdown pass by Garoppolo, his third of the game to tie a career high, made it 31-10. And after Robbie Gould added a field goal, a 4-yard touchdown run by Jeff Wilson made it 41-10. The Bengals did manage to score one more touchdown with less than a minute to go.
Bengals will go for it on 4th and 4 from their own 34. Dalton is back to pass. The protection is good. Fires up the seam. It is caught by John Ross. He is breaking away from tackles. And John Ross is going to take it to the house. 66 yards.
As the old saying goes, it was lipstick on a pig. The final score, 41-17, San Francisco. Here again is Trey Hopkins.
It's a lot of positive energy last week, even though you lost the game. Do you still have that after a lopsided loss today?
We're all competitors in this room. You get here by being a competitor, so obviously it's not what you want. And no, it doesn't feel good. It feels pretty bad, actually. But you don't have a lot of time to lick your wounds. So, yeah, today you might feel bad. You might watch the film today and you might feel terrible. You come back tomorrow, you watch it with the coaches, with the rest of your teammates. You get critiqued, you get coached. And then you have to move on. And, I mean, it's week two. That's a positive thing, I guess you can say about it. But we can't put a product like that on the field ever again. And so do what you got to do in these next 2 days. But, I mean, you know, come Wednesday, we're on the next team. You don't have a lot of time to belabor the point of this game, you know.
Tyler Boyd had the best game statistically for the Bengals. He was targeted 10 times and caught all 10 for 122 yards. But it was hard for him to enjoy after a 24-point loss.
That was shocking for me to even witness, you know what I'm saying, because I really believe that this offense is still the legit top offense. You know, we still had great numbers out there, you know, but we just didn't have points. We didn't have the touchdowns, you know, but just got to keep working, man, just detail everything up.
Do you have to get a running game going?
Definitely. You know, you got to run the football in order to win football games. You know, you got to be able to pass to win football games. You got to be able to do everything to win football games. You know, it's just whichever team execute the most plays wins. That's what it all comes down to.
John Ross finished with 112 receiving yards and has a whopping 270 after the first 2 weeks of the season. He's off to a great start. The running game isn't.
You finished with 100-plus yards, so did Tyler, but the running game just has not been there for the first 2 weeks. Are you a little perplexed by that?
We're working on it. That's all I can say. We're working on it. We'll get it right. It's early. It's still early. I mean, that's all I can say. You know, we're going to have our games where it's going to be like that, you know. But I know for sure when we do get it rolling, we'll be real scary. So,
how much do you need it?
A lot, apparently. So, you know, but we're not discouraged. I know we're not. You know, we got an amazing backfield. You guys know that. But once we put everything together and continue to build, you know, it's still early. You know, there's a lot of things that are still new to us. We just got to continue to build.
As for the defense, what can you say? It was awful. The 49ers ran for 259 yards and averaged 6.2 yards per carry. They passed for 313 and averaged 12 yards per attempt. Here's Dre Kirkpatrick.
This is a good tape for us to watch. You know, there's a lot of things that we can learn from this week. Because we're going to see this every week until we stop it. So you know how this league go. Once one person sees a copycat league, they're going to come try to run the ball down our throat, play our kind of trick plays. And so, like I said, it definitely gives us good film to study from, and we'll be ready, more prepared this week.
So it'll be hard to watch that tape?
I don't think so, not for me, because you got to learn from your mistakes. I don't see any teams in this league go, you know, 0-3 and win Super Bowl. So you just got to have that sense of urgency, mental toughness, want, will, and come together as a team. You know, we lost, but one thing I am proud of, we didn't fall apart. Nobody didn't get the pointy fingers. Everybody on their own.
Seems like you are already in. We've got to learn from this and move on quickly mode.
Oh, yeah, I'm done with it. I'm over it. Like I said, it's early in the season. I'm just going to go home tonight, watch film, you know, see the mistakes that I made, and then it's back to the drawing board, get ready for Buffalo next week.
Everything was so positive after last week's game. How do you avoid a feeling of this being really negative with the outcome?
It ain't no different. You know, like I said, you just got to have your blinders on, not think about it. Even if we won, we couldn't dwell on a win this week. We got a whole another game next week. So kind of sound shady a little bit, but you got to forget about it. You can't just dwell on it. You learn from it. Come in tomorrow, going to go over our mistakes. Guys going to get cussed out. Guys going to get chewed out. We need to. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was embarrassing. Be real with you. It was embarrassing for the fans, for the city, Cincinnati, and we got to play better. Like I said, include myself for sure.
There are 6 first-time head coaches in the NFL. Green Bay's Matt LaFleur is off to a 2-0 start, but nobody else has a win. Arizona's Cliff Kingsbury is 0-1-1. Freddie Kitchens of Cleveland is 0-1, going into a Monday night game against the Jets. And Denver's Vic Fangio and Miami's Brian Flores are 0-2. Zach Taylor is also 0-2. He spent 3 minutes with Dave Lapham after Sunday's loss to the Niners.
That one didn't unfold the way you had anticipated. I mean, from the very jump street, there was a penalty on special teams. Offense had a tough series, and the defense gives up a touchdown. And all three phases, kind of Murphy's Law, and it just kind of, I mean, you tied the football game, but I don't know if that was a foreshadowing of things to come or what.
Yeah, that really is the game in a nutshell. It's we started poorly in all three phases and never really recovered from it. And so, again, we can't make these mistakes again in a game. It got away from us. They beat us good. Credit to them. They played a great game. But, you know, our guys are mentally tough enough to where we'll respond the right way this week.
In any level of football, peewee football on up, if the offensive and defensive lines control the action at the line of scrimmage, usually good things happen. It looked like San Francisco controlled things up front.
They were good. You know, if they're being efficient on first and second down, then their whole playbook's open. And that can be a deadly offense when their playbook's open. And then, you know, offensively, we just early in the first quarter, on that second drive, rebounded, got a touchdown. Third drive, penalties killed us. And that really set us back. And so we just weren't able to stop the bleeding. But again, I feel like the mental toughness in this group is going to be strong enough to rebound next week.
Kyle Shanahan's game plan was a thing of beauty, really, to watch how he made the defense really defend the whole field, both vertically and horizontally, with those play-action screens off of, you know, outside zone. He's got a quadrant of offensive linemen out there leading screen passes up the sideline. And defensively, it just seemed like almost like he was listening. You know, some of the calls that he had were just perfect calls against defenses that were presented to him.
Our eye discipline's just got to be better. It's a good team. When they throw those play action screens, they can be really effective. And they were effective today for San Francisco, and it's just something we got to improve upon on defense.
What do you say to your team, Coach, when, you know, it's like it is at halftime? What's your message at that point in time?
You know, we're not worried. We dug ourselves into a hole, but it's still a two-score game. We just need to stop on defense. We need to come out on offense and score points, and it didn't happen on either side of the ball. And that's how you got to get back into a game like that. They did a good job. They kept the pedal to the metal, and they kept pushing it on us, and we weren't able to stop them, and it became a long game.
I don't think I've ever seen a coach work as hard as you do and your staff work as hard as your staff does. I know that a game like this, when you put all that time in, and I've been there, you know, it's like you're just one of those days at the office that it's just whatever you do doesn't seem to be, you know, the right answer, the right thing to do. That can get really frustrating.
It can, but as a coaching staff, we got to be as accountable as we are for players. You know, we got to make sure we're putting them in the best position. We felt really good about our plan. The players believed in the plan. We just didn't execute it as effectively as we thought we would.
The running game, when you get behind by three scores, obviously is not going to be as big a factor, but when it wasn't, you know, when it was still a game, that running game just has not given you what it needs to give you yet, has it?
We had some good runs called back because of holding and some blocks on the field that it's tough. It's tough to find a rhythm when that's happening. And that really happened in the late first quarter, early second quarter, where plays kept coming back. And that threw us out of a rhythm a little bit, and we weren't able to respond the right way.
Is there anything worse as a play caller than facing like second and 20, second and 25? I mean, that's got to be a nightmare.
It's not where we want to be, you know, and again, it just goes into the rhythm. San Francisco was in a great rhythm all night on offense, and offensively ourselves, we could not quite find that rhythm. And so it was a tough night for us.
Appreciate your candor. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
If you're wondering how the Bengals are feeling about their new head coach after Sunday's rout, here again is Dre Kirkpatrick.
Coach is a leader. Like I said, man, I'm a player, first off. I don't point fingers or try to put it on the coaches, because coach is going to put us in the best position like they did today. He put us in the best position to win. We didn't execute it. Like I said, they hit us in our mouth, but he's definitely somebody that going to be around for a long time, because he's going to get this thing right, and we're going to make sure it's right for him.
Now time for some post-game analysis with Lapp. Lapp, let's talk about the mindset of this team, because after the one-point loss in Seattle, even though they lost the game by and large, everybody was feeling really confident. What kind of a blow does this deal to that confidence?
It's significant. Now it tests the fiber of the locker room. You know, what kind of guys do you have? Are guys going to point fingers? You know, the defense going to point fingers at the offense and vice versa? I really don't see how they can point fingers. I mean, if you point a finger, it's going to come flying back at you. There's three fingers pointing at you, and you point your finger. So, because all three phases didn't play winning football. So when you look at it that way, all you do is, you know, try to put it aside as best you can. I'm not a believer in you don't watch the tape. I watch the tape and say, this is horse crap. This isn't acceptable, and we got to do better than this, make corrections. But then put it aside and put together the best plan you possibly can for the Buffalo Bills and go out there and try to win your matchup. There's not a whole lot of players in that locker room that can say after that football game, I won my individual matchup. And when so many don't, you're going to lose the football game. You're going to lose it big like they did.
I don't think anybody saw that coming. People might have thought that the 49ers might pull out a close game at Paul Brown Stadium, but nobody expected the Bengals to shoot themselves in the foot as often as they did today.
Yeah, and when you look at it, there was just an interception by each team. It wasn't a turnover-laden football game. It was even in terms of turnovers. That was the only thing that was even. They got out-schemed. They got out-executed. They got out-hustled. They got out-physicaled. They all got out everything. I mean, I think just about every guy, when he looks at himself in the mirror after that football game, would say, in my matchup, did I win my matchup today or did I lose my matchup? And a high, high percentage, I'm not saying 100%, but damn close, lost their matchup. And when you're in that situation, you have an unbalanced equation. And, you know, they generate over 500 yards. Shanahan's scheme was, I think, a beauty to watch. And they made the defense try to defend horizontally, vertically, every blade of grass on the football field. And, man, they had them on their heels, and the Bengals could never get off their heels.
Let's talk about the Bengals' offense. John Ross goes over 100 receiving yards for the second straight week, thanks to that late 66-yard touchdown catch. Tyler Boyd had a 100-yard receiving performance, so those were good things. But the running game has been non-existent in the first 2 weeks of the season. What's the problem?
Good question. I mean, again, it's, are you winning your matchup? It's at the line of scrimmage. And I'd say just about across the board, you know, they'd probably say we didn't win enough for our matchups, particularly in the running game. And, you know, the other part of it, they're rushing four and dropping seven into coverage. And in some cases, you know, they're chipping with a back or helping with somebody. Well, you know, that's six blockers. Quarterback is seven. You know, there's maximum of four receivers out there with seven guys covering them. It's hard. You know, when you're down, the amount of points they were down, you know, all they have to do, those four guys pin their ears back and rush. They're not even, they're disregarding run. And they have seven guys on the back end covering four. So it got to be sometimes seven guys covering three on the back end. And that's a tough dynamic. Dan, the way the game started, penalty on special teams, start on opening kickoff. Bengals offense goes backwards, take the sack, you know, they're in trouble there. And then defense gives up a touchdown. So all three phases lost, and they're down 7-0, and it kind of was a foreshadowing of things to come. They tied the game 7-7, but it never felt like they're on solid footing now, and the 49ers just started pulling away and kept their foot on the gas. And it's just one of those days at the office. I mean, you lose by one, you lose by 24, they're both losses. Although, you obviously felt a lot better about losing by a point in Seattle than you did by losing by 24 here in front of your home crowd and your home opener in Zach Taylor's first home game.
Let's talk about the single biggest positive thing from an otherwise miserable game on Sunday against the 49ers, and that was the play of Tyler Boyd. He was targeted 10 times. He caught all 10, 122 yards, and late in the game when it was completely out of reach, he's breaking tackles and fighting for every yard he can get.
If I'm Zach Taylor, I put a couple of his plays on the screen at the Monday meeting and say, this is how we want you guys to compete. You know, the game's over. Look, and maybe find a couple of plays where guys aren't competing. Say, this isn't acceptable. This is what we're looking for. Because Tyler Boyd, to me, today, showed me he's a pro's pro. It's easy to play your tail off when you're up two scores. It's tough to play your tail off when you're down three scores or more. He played his tail off. That guy is a competitor with a capital C on his chest. So, you know, I think he's a good example that if I'm a coach, you know, if not Zach, you know, maybe Brian Callahan, you know, somebody on the offensive side, when they're in together as a group, should point out Tyler Boyd and the way he approached every snap in a game that was played the way it was played.
Let's talk about the offensive line. Jonah Williams went down in training camp. Cordy Glenn remains in concussion protocol. Andre Smith and Michael Jordan both went down in this game. It's a lot of bodies to try to replace up front.
It is, you know. I asked, you know, who's the emergency guy? And it was like, I'm not really sure who the emergency guy would have been. That would have been unbelievably difficult. Maybe kick a tight end in there. I don't know, maybe Sample, you know, physical guy. Rookie, put the rookie in there and let him scuffle. I mean, who knows what would have happened there, but I mean, that whole dynamic is tough. Now, Andre, his groin is kind of in the belly of the groin, so it's not real high, which is better. And Michael Jordan, they think it's more of a bruise kind of thing than any kind of structural damage, which is good as well. So hopefully they haven't lost anybody for any extended period of time.
It was a humbling day for the defense. As good as they were in Seattle holding the Seahawks to fewer than 250 yards, they didn't really stop any aspect of the 49ers offense today.
They didn't. Hot knife through butter. You know, when you give up 570 plus yards offense, that's a tough day. They were running outside, right, left, running up the middle. Like Newt Rockne said, go right, go left, go up the middle. That's what the San Francisco 49ers were doing. And then Jimmy Garoppolo could just stand back there, have a cup of coffee, read the classified ads, and throw the ball down the field.
Jimmy Garoppolo is now 10-2 as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Up next for the Bengals, a road game at Buffalo next Sunday in the Bills' home opener. Buffalo is 2-0 with back-to-back road wins in the same stadium. They beat the Jets in the Meadowlands last week and beat the Giants in the Meadowlands this week. Now time for this week's Fun Facts segment as we get to know the person under the pads. And in this case, it's a new member of the Bengals who played in Buffalo for the last 4 years. Time for some fun facts with Bengals offensive lineman John Miller. You look like you could lift a house. How early did you start weightlifting?
I'm not too sure about weightlifting, but I started playing football when I was about 7 years old, if that gives you any idea.
I've seen some of your boxing videos on the internet. Tell me a little bit about your training regimen.
So typically I always go back home to Miami, Pete Bomarito's. It's a great workout, always good to get out there in the heat. Always doing like something with flexibility, mobility, strengthening, different things like that. I try to work on my speed just so I could be quicker, get my footwork up. And then another thing that I like to do is work with a different couple guys like MMA fighters and things like that to kind of work the hand combat because, you know, playing in the trenches up front, you know, it's all about hand placement, you know. Sometimes a guy might get your hand, you got to replace it. So it's good to kind of throw those things in there. Took a couple boxing classes as well just to work the hands. And so I really want to have good hand speed as well too. So
we're talking to John Miller. As you mentioned, you're from the Miami area. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Florida and some of the things you're into as a kid.
Growing up in Florida was awesome. The weather's always nice. That's something that I definitely appreciate. But yeah, growing up, it's me, my older brother, my older sister. I have five siblings, and I have two other sisters. So big knit family. Every time Christmas, Easter, all those different holidays, Thanksgiving, we all will meet up at my grandma's house, and it was a great time. And, football kept me busy, kept me off the streets, and so that's pretty much growing up in Miami.
We're doing fun facts with John Miller. You went to Miami Central High School, the Rockets, named the Rockets in honor of NASA, which opened at approximately the same time. It has an unbelievable legacy of sending football players to college and to the NFL. Share a little bit about what Miami Central football is all about.
Miami Central football is, like you said, is a powerhouse. Great group of guys that come out of there, to name a few. Devontae Freeman came out of there. Willis McGahee came out of there. I know that's a lot of years back, actually.
People have heard of him.
people have heard of him. But, yeah, so I was a part of the class 2011 that won the first national state championship, So experiencing that was good, kind of laid the foundation for the kids that came after.
John, from there was on to Louisville with so many great college football programs in the state of Florida. How'd you wind up in Kentucky?
Coach Strong, Charlie Strong, did a great job at recruiting. Clint Hurt also had a big part of recruiting. He's actually, I think, the defensive line coach, defensive line assistant coach, I think, at Seattle. But those two guys definitely had a big, huge impact on my decision. And at the end of the day, I had wanted to go somewhere where I could start and play as a freshman, and which I did. So Louisville gave me the best opportunity. I went there, I visited, and I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the coaches, the teammates, the facilities, in the community.
You started as a true freshman, which is very unusual, on the offensive line and started for 4 years at Louisville. What were some of the best parts of your college experience, both on the field and just at Louisville in general?
Off the field, just having fun. You know, in college, that was the most fun time of your life. And then on the field, sharing those memories with your teammates. I remember we beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl 2013, if I remember that. And you just get a chance to play with top guys, elite guys. You know, Devontae Parker was on that team, Teddy Bridgewater was on that team, Kevin Pryor was on that team, and the list goes on and on. And some of these guys that I mentioned doing very well in the NFL. So when you talk about Louisville, you talk about up-and-coming program, you know, it just builds that sense of pride and just happy that, you know, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to go to such a prestigious university.
We're visiting with offensive lineman John Miller. You were a third-round draft pick by the Buffalo Bills. Describe your draft day experience.
My draft day experience was awesome. I was surrounded by a bunch of family. We had a little kickback. All the family members was there. So it was great to share that moment with them. I still remember that phone call. Remember that phone call. Doug Welly called me on the phone, and I talked to Rex Ryan for a little bit, and I met my offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer. So it was definitely a fun time, a blessing. So grateful, you know, to be able to get drafted, and just thank God that he blessed me with the talents and things like that to be able to play such a sport. And so it was great spending that time with my family, and it brought me to tears. You know, my mom was there, and so that meant the world to me.
I grew up a little bit south of Buffalo, so I know how brutal winter is. You're from Miami. How did you cope?
I went to school in Louisville, but when you compare the two, it's not even on the same spectrum between the weather that you get, especially in the winter. It's brutal, but that's something that you have to adjust to, and at the end of the day, that's what we get paid to do, to adjust and adapt.
You became a free agent this year and signed a 3-year deal here in Cincinnati, where you've been reunited with your former teammate in Louisville and in Buffalo, Preston Brown. This is his hometown. What did he tell you about Cincinnati?
He told me that I was going to like it. He told me that it was more of like a family-oriented organization and community. I'm actually liking the city, the community. I think they nicknamed it the Queen City. It's definitely a beautiful city, beautiful community. So I'm excited to be a part of that.
A few more questions for John Miller. You have a foundation, and it looks like you've done some great things. You have an annual camp for kids. I see you've given out meals on Thanksgiving. Tell me about the John Miller Foundation and what's important to you.
So what I want to do through my foundation was basically to give back to the kids. And just so when you spoke about my annual football camp, I do that every year. I feel it's important for those kids to see somebody that look like them, and see somebody who's successful, who reached the top of the top, just to give them inspiration. Because I didn't have that growing up. There was really nobody coming to give back. There was really nobody coming to speak or talk to the kids or put on events like that. So for me, that was one of the biggest things that I want to do. Also had a couple Thanksgiving drives where I give out turkeys a couple times, where I catered a meal, had some teammates come out and help out and things like that. Christmas, I usually adopt like a family or two and just kind of play Santa. So all those things is great. And I thank God that I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to be in that position to be able to give back. So that's what I had wanted to do with my foundation, is just simply give back and to inspire.
When you have a day off, what do you like to do?
Usually my days off consist of basically just taking care of my body, relaxing, unwinding after the game, stretching, coming up here, get moving, light workout, little cardio, stretching, lifting. Definitely got to get a massage, 2-hour massage, it's well needed. So my days off is spent taking care of myself and taking care of my body and just poking my head in the playbook and the game plan, just trying to get ahead on the next opponent.
Do you have a hidden talent?
Hidden talent? I don't want to open that door. No, I don't have a hidden talent.
On the flip side, is there anything that you are absolutely terrible at?
Singing.
Singing?
That's right.
I'm good. I won't torture you by showing up.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give you a sample of it. It's only for like the shower. That's the only time it brings it out.
You don't have to sing in Cincinnati. You just have to block people, and we know you can do that. Welcome to the Bengals. Thanks for the time. Best of luck this year.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
That's John Miller. We want to remind you that you can hang out with Lapp and me and meet Bengals players at our radio shows this week. On Wednesday night from 6 to 8, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Harrison for the Bengals Game Plan Show. Then on Friday afternoon from 3 to 6, we'll be at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Mason, just down the road from Kings Island, for the Bengals Pep Rally Show. A Bengals player usually joins us for the first hour on Wednesday night and for the final hour on Friday afternoon. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. And if you have a minute, please give it a rating or share a comment. 5-star ratings help more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.